What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Oh, hey, don't skip ahead just yet. Jody and David are here for another Weird Thursday. And if you're missing the Shadow Docket bonus show on our Patreon page, you're missing a lot. On today's edition, we talked about more warning signs for the Trump campaign, and we did a deep dive into a new AI music platform and played a clip of an AI song generated by Rolling Stone magazine. And it's as nauseating as you'd imagine. So here's how you can listen. Just go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, sign up for the Shadow Docket level, $5 per month, and you're all set. Again, that's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, March 21, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,157 of the Biden-Harris administration, 229 days until the 24th presidential election. Find me on Threads and Instagram, the Bob Seska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And those two people right there, the goth ninjas, yeah. Jody Hamilton, the showrunner slash executive producer of the Stephanie Miller Show, patreon.com/Stephanie Miller Show, also stephaniemiller.com and sexyliberal.com. Going on tour with Live Nation. Get your tickets now. Also, David Ferguson, his music project is called Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com, and also patreon.com/astralsummer. Take your pick. And by the way, we're jumping into the Wayback Machine, as they say in radio, way back to when David was in Compromat.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, you got the song. Oh, good.
Yes, I did. I got the song. We actually have a Compromat song that we're going to play here on the show today. Yeah, yeah.
Out one of
the second break. Yeah.
Very one of the most honest things I've ever fucking written.
And what is the name of the song?
Star.
Well, it's you can Star... say it. What the hell show do you think you're on?
It's called Starfucker.
There you go. All
right. Oh, I know looking several of them, so let's go with that.
So that's coming.
Hold on to your hats, ladies. It's going to be quite a show.
Yeah, all right. So we got to start. Speaking of shows, we got to talk about the Jim Jomer. The Jim Jomer. God damn it! It's already that kind of show.
Jim Jomer. Yeah. That's funnier.
Jesus, we got to start with the Jim Comer shit show yesterday. You know that's harder to say than you think.
You're thinking Jim Jordan and Jim Comer, so that's why you got Jim Jomer. Yeah. That's what you're
thinking. That's probably it. Either that, or it's Thursday, and I'm just feeling weird. Okay, so
second to last day of my vacation, really? By the way.
Oh yes, that's right. Thank you for joining us on your vacation, Jody. That's very sacrificial of you. I appreciate
it. No, I love this show. Yeah. I would not miss it for the world if I didn't have to.
Okay. Well, here we're going to disabuse you of that because we're going to talk about the Republicans in the House Oversight Committee and just this remarkable nonsense that was going on yesterday. But we got a lot of confirmation of things that we had known all along. So because the Republicans are so desperately concerned about putting things in the proper context, let's give them some context for what was going on yesterday. So we rewind to 2016, and the Russian GRU, which is the military intelligence apparatus in Moscow, they decided to hack the DNC and hork all kinds of emails and then send those emails to Julian Assange at WikiLeaks, who then just published them without any sort of context, even though they seemed to love context. It didn't matter because Julian Assange just posted all of those emails and so forth in the public, dribbling them out throughout the election year. And that was on top of the fact that the Russian Internet Research Agency and other troll farms were flooding the zone with all kinds of anti-Hillary disinformation with the express intent of elevating and electing Donald Trump. So that was stage one of all of this. Then you fast forward.
I did get a damn fine risotto recipe out of that, though.
You did. I forgot about the risotto recipe.
That's what I, when I make risotto, I can't remember. What's the guy's name? Now it's not funny.
I think it was John Podesta who posted a risotto recipe in his emails that ended up on WikiLeaks. But you fast forward another 4 years and then it starts all over again. You know what? It's not technically 4 years. It was 3 years later in 2019. That's when Donald Trump started extorting Ukraine in order to get Zelensky to launch an investigation into Burisma / Hunter Biden in order to damage Joe Biden ahead of the 2020 election. That's when they started the search for the Hunter Biden laptop. And so that quest began with Lev Parnas and Rudy Giuliani scouring the countryside for dirt on Hunter Biden.
In Ukraine.
Yeah, in Ukraine, whether it was the laptop.
Open top Jeep. It was the funniest road trip film ever, and it just never made it. It was straight to video.
Yeah, well, so Lev Parnas and Rudy Giuliani are looking for Hunter Biden's hard drive. They're looking for financial documents and so forth. Meantime, Lev Parnas is getting, well, the whole thing is getting financed by Dmitry Firtash, who is the fertilizer king of Russia. He was born in Ukraine. He's a Russian oligarch. And so this is all coming out of the Trump campaign. That's why Rudy was out there with Lev Parnas looking for all of this stuff. This is collusion. Now, it's not necessarily Donald Trump talking to Dmitry Firtash or Vladimir Putin, for that matter, but there are several hops in between. There are buffas, as they say in Godfather Part Two. The Don likes his buffas, right? And so this was the entire process. Bill Barr was in on this. Bill Barr knew about it. Of course, Victoria Tensing and Joe DeGeneva were in on this. Meantime, the Justice Department was investigating Dmitry Firtash on a separate matter, and they were able to lobby Bill Barr to drop that investigation. So everything's going to be fine. And so Bill Barr actually traveled to see Dmitry Firtash and tell him everything's fine, no worries. We're going back to 2019, 2020 with all of this. You've got John Solomon and Sean Hannity from Fox News Channel. You've got Senator Ron Johnson was aware of all of this stuff. You got Devin Nunes was aware of all of this. You got who else? Pete Sessions, who now sits on the House Oversight Committee, tasked with investigating and possibly impeaching Joe Biden over this crap. So we're going to get more from Lev Parnas on all more details on all the stuff, confirmation. I'm just going through the context, because if you ever take anything out of context, the Republicans, well, they're going to start crapping their cages.
I'm still back in the Jeep with Rudy and Lev. You know, Rudy's like, the GPS says take a left up here. There's no road for take a left.
That's right. They're looking
for
the...
take left at Kirkuk. The GPS
says they stop off to see Aunt Edna and the world's largest ball of yarn.
Exactly.
So then you fast forward to 2024 with this impeachment crap and the fact that once again, you have a Russian operative, Alexander Smirnov, feeding the Republicans with disinformation, with Kremlin disinformation. This is an ongoing scam. The context for this is Donald Trump trying to damage his political opponents by using obvious Russian disinformation throughout, I mean, 2016, 2020, 2024. And the atrocity here is that because of whether it's the interpretation of the Mueller report, the power of the Republicans over the political press, the ability for the Republicans to shame the political press into making sure they don't get overly critical of the Republican Party, all of this shit undermined the idea that there was Russian collusion. We're up to our eyeballs in collusion. Lev Parnas talking about nothing but collusion yesterday in the House Oversight Committee under oath, by the way. So let's listen to the first clip from Lev Parnas, who, by the way, I got to mention here before we hear this clip.
Isn't he the one that's in love with Kimberly?
Yes, that's what it's exactly what
he
I was going to mention.
Yeah, sending her love poems. Roses are red. My daca is quiet. Let you and I have our own pussy riot. Yeah.
That is 1,000% true. Lev Parnas was DMing Kimberly.
It's such a weird world we live in.
Yeah, I'm like, holy shit. She comes running in. She's like, oh, my God, look at this DM I got from Lev Parnas. And then, like, a couple of weeks later, oh, my God, look at this new DM I got from Lev Parnas. And it was,
of all
you know,
people.
Yeah, I mean, it was somewhat innocent insofar. I think it was just asking to be on her show or something like that. But
please let me on show, big blonde, beautiful woman.
Yeah, you look like Russian lady.
The life is so goddamn weird. But yeah, that's our connection to Lev Parnas. I'm including myself in all of this because I guess I would
You have to have him on the show. You have to.
Well, you're the third wheel in the rom-com. You're the angry, jealous boyfriend that's following them around, you know, the Balkans and everything.
So let's listen to Lev Parnas yesterday laying out this giant plot, and he failed to mention Kimberly at all. You'd think he'd at least throw in a giant woman from Germantown.
Right? What type of dirt were you're trying to get?
We were searching for Hunter's hard drive that we were told was out there. We were searching for bank records to validate certain bank records that was given to me, Hunter's personal bank records that was given to me by John Solomon that he said he got from the FBI to validate certain payments that were going for car purchases. But the objective was to try to find a link from any of the payments that would go into Joe Biden's account.
And who told you to get this dirt?
Who told me? Rudy Giuliani.
Anyone else that you remember?
Yeah. John Solomon. Everybody that was part of the team. I mean,
did Bill Barr know that you were involved in getting this dirt?
Absolutely. Bill Barr was notified of our investigation from the day he took office.
Did you ever have a conversation with Bill Barr of being lenient towards Dmitry in his role, in Bill Barr's role as Attorney General?
Yeah, he's talking about Dmitry Firtash. When they say Dmitry, they mean Dmitry Firtash, the fertilizer king.
The fertilizer magnate. Yeah.
Of Russia.
I personally did not, but I was witness to Victoria Tunzing and Joe DiGenova having a conversation with Bill Barr about Dmitry Firtash.
What did they say to Bill Barr?
Basically, they were telling him that the charges were false and that he needs to drop the charges and basically end the case.
And why did they tell him to drop the charges on this Russian oligarch?
Because Dmitry Firtash was going to help us getting dirt on the Bidens or whatever else the Trump campaign needed.
Okay, we got to pause right there. If I'm Bill Barr today, I'm shitting my pants. Because
as he should be.
He was convinced by these two socialites, Joe DiGenova and Victoria Tensing.
These two people who are just like sort of like the genital warts of the Republican cocktail circuit. I mean, they just pop up everywhere, and nobody wants them. I mean, remember when Trump was going to hire them, and they showed up like at his at the White House, looking all disheveled and like they'd slept in their clothes.
And the word was about Joe DiGenova's mustache, but Trump didn't like the mustache, so that's why he didn't hire.
That was it? Joe, that's all that matters,
right? It's so ridiculous. But just to recap, where we are with this. So Bill Barr dropped a Department of Justice investigation against Dmitry effing Firtash. Because he was asked to. And why was he asked to? Because Dmitry Firtash was helping Rudy Giuliani and Lev Parnas to get dirt on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden in order to damage the Bidens ahead of the 2020 election. That was the intention here. And Bill Barr went along with that. Bill Barr was a conspirator in this process to smear Joe Biden using obvious Russian disinformation through a Russian oligarch with ties to Vladimir Putin. And this is the first time. I mean, you go back to 2016 and you got Oleg Deripaska and his negotiations through Konstantin Kilimnik with Paul Manafort, where Paul Manafort, for some reason, is looking for a way to make him whole, like he owes money to Oleg Deripaska. And so instead of paying Oleg Deripaska, he starts sending Oleg Deripaska internal Trump campaign polling information. Fucking collusion. All
over
the place.
And Paul Manafort is just rehired.
Because no one ever dies in this universe.
Well, it's happening at the exact same time when Donald Trump needs $500 million plus in order to cover this bond. So I wonder if there's
until Monday for that. We'll see what happens. Because his own daughter is not giving him the money, which I love.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Trump being broke here in a second. But
he's so broke, he hit up Tiffany for a loan.
Exactly. She got no money.
Yeah. And then,
like, why didn't you ask Tiffany? And he's like, who's Tiffany? They're like, your other daughter.
I want someone in the press, I don't care who it is, to quiz Donald Trump about the names of his grandchildren. Can you name all of your grandchildren, Mr. Trump? I don't. He would refuse to do it.
I can name all my nieces and nephews.
Yeah, of course, we all can. But here's the thing, just going back to...
I have 17 of them, though.
Oh, my God, that's a lot. Paul Manafort could actually hook up Donald Trump with Oleg Deripaska if he needed to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I keep questioning. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to talk, as I said, we're going to talk about Trump is broke later on in the show. So let's continue. We've got 30 more seconds of this clip from Lev Parnas. And listen carefully and put all of this into the context of Donald Trump colluding through several hops with Russian operatives in order to smear Joe Biden for the third presidential election in a row. Jesus Christ. If we lived in normal times, this would destroy Donald Trump.
I mean, Donald Trump only knows 10 people because he just keeps running in circles. It's like next Roger Stone will be up at bat again, you know?
Right.
So my understanding is you have the Trump campaign telling you to talk
By the way, this is Ro Khanna.
Russian oligarch to get dirt on the president of the United States for political reasons. And then someone from the Trump campaign is talking to the attorney general to drop the charges because this foreign national is helping get dirt on a political candidate.
Bingo.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Did Bill Barr indicate any willingness to drop the charges?
After a meeting that Victoria Tunzing and Joe DiGenova had with DOJ, they came back and informed me that we're going to Vienna because to tell Dmitry Firtash everything's going to be okay.
Wow.
They protected. And I'm not just talking about any they. I'm talking about the Attorney General of the United States.
Yep.
Deliberately protected a Russian oligarch who was feeding disinformation to the Trump campaign and paying Lev Parnas to do so. They told this guy, you're off the hook because we need that information for the boss to win re-election.
Yep.
Staggering, staggering. Okay, so later on, Matt Gaetz was trying to corner Lev Parnas. And, here's this exchange. This is Lev Parnas versus Matt Gaetz from yesterday morning in the House Oversight Committee.
Sounds like Maddie. Everyone here today, the only one working for a Russian oligarch was you. Right? I mean,
yeah,
it's
public information.
Yeah, that, no, I just heard you wax Gaetz, poetic.
I got paid $200,000. You know how much I got paid.
You were really worried about our democracy, and you were here to warn us, but you were working for a Russian oligarch.
Thank you for confirming, Matt Gaetz. Thank you for confirming.
Thank you, Matt.
Lev Parnas.
I was just going to say, like, boy, oh boy. Let me just, Maddie, you're out of your league here. You're not in Fort Lauderdale anymore. He's not the bouncer at the bar. As much as he looks like the guy that just told you, casino is closed, go home.
He's smearing Lev Parnas, and all he's doing is confirming the fact that Rudy Giuliani, under orders of the Trump campaign, and Donald Trump himself, was working with
a bunch
with
of fucking
guy.
Russian oligarchs.
Yes.
A cast of thousands.
So how is this Joe Biden's fault? I'm just...
Yeah, of course, none of it is, but God damn.
He really thinks he's about to do something. It's like when we saw that dancing video of James O'Keefe at whatever convention that was, when he just had that full body spasm on the dance floor and everybody was cheering for him. And I was
Well, these Republicans are the kings of cell phones. I mean, they are constantly owning themselves, and they think they're owning the libs, but they're owning themselves. When we get into Trump is broke, there's another thing with Trump himself kind of trying to do that, like screwing himself in order to have a campaign issue or to own the libs or something. We'll get into it later. But let's continue with this melee between Matt Gaetz and Lev Parnas.
But you were working for a Russian oligarch
on behalf
to get
of President
marijuana
Trump.
Licenses, but then you didn't even do it. The fraud you committed against the Russian oligarch was that instead you spent the money on yourself. So, like, was that what you
that
were
doing? Honor among thieves. That's how that's described, yeah. Right?
Doing the fight against Russia's aggression.
That's a lie.
Just taking their money. Well, that's what you were convicted of.
No.
But instead of spending 50 years in prison, you got 4 months. As this hearing continues, I look forward to hearing what Mr. Galanis thinks about how he was treated by the DOJ for telling the truth as opposed to how you're treated for lying.
The DOJ didn't listen to the truth because if they will listen to
the question,
truth,
the question Mr. Gates had is
they
for Mr.
To hear the truth. You can't handle Galan- the truth, Matt Gates.
Right. You can't handle the truth, Matt Gates.
And by the way, they were talking about Galanis. Galanis was one of the Republican star witnesses yesterday. Galanis had to testify from prison.
From prison.
Via Skype. And he looked like it. I mean, he looked like he was in prison and they threw a suit on him from the waist up, probably. So that was one of their guys. And then Bobulinski was there too. And of course,
Bubbles?
He's a complete slime bag. The way he
Tony
fits.
Bubbles.
Right. Bobulinski was partnered with Hunter Biden in this potential deal. They were looking to do a deal with this Chinese company, CEFC. I wish I still had my whiteboard here because I had back in the day, I used to have a dry erase board where I had all, it was like Matthew McConaughey's storage space in True Detective with the, you know, the cork board and the yarn and the map and the push pins and all that shit. And so I've kind of lost track of all of that. But fortunately, we have Allison Gill to interpret some of this stuff. So she posted a whole thread flashing back to 2022. And she wrote this: Donald Trump's NSA warned him in a private conversation that the information Rudy brought back was contaminated by Russian disinformation. Hunter Biden's laptop is a Russian disinformation op fabricated by Rudy and his Russian pals. There are authentic emails on it, but there are also fabricated emails on it, too. And no one can confirm the authenticity of the ones the right wing is using as proof. Yes, the laptop was entirely contaminated with Russian disinformation. The other person who knows a lot about this, especially the laptop angle, is Hal Sparks. And he still is questioning whether or not there even is a laptop. You know, whether they just hacked a bunch of information, dumped it onto a laptop, and said, well, this is Hunter Biden's laptop.
There wasn't even a laptop. No, it was a hard drive.
Yeah, hard drive. Yeah,
exactly. From a laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. I'm with Hal on that. It's like bullshit. I'm swearing. I'm just not saying.
That's okay. You're on vacation. You're allowed to swear. Swear all you want. Why are both of you acting as though we don't swear on this show? We swear. We swear like sailors.
Well, we fucking swear all the fucking time. What
yes,
the fuck?
We do. So, as part of Lev Parnas's opening statement, he said, "I believe that what we are facing now is the culmination of a much larger plan for Russia to crush Ukraine by infiltrating the United States." Use the phrase "infiltrating the United States" should be terrifying. Mm-hmm. In my travels, I found precisely zero proof of the Biden's criminality. Instead, what I learned in that time frame was the true nature of the conspiracy that the Kremlin was forcing through Russian, Ukrainian, American, and other channels to interfere in our elections. Ultimately, this was meant to benefit Trump's reelection, which would in turn benefit Vladimir Putin, which happens to be going on right now, because if Donald Trump gets into the White House again, bye-bye Ukraine. It'll be annexed.
But you know,
Russia.
Vlad won with a landslide.
Yeah, that's right. That completely on the level election. That's the kind of election that we can
look forward to.
Look forward to.
If Joe Biden doesn't win again, people vote. Fucking vote.
That's the key to all of this. There will be elections. They'll just be elections like they have in Russia.
Yeah.
Be Donald Trump versus a 6 day old roadkill from Arkansas.
It's Donald Trump when he's dying, and then Ivanka.
Yeah.
Or Jared, or not Eric.
My name's Eric.
Right.
I'm president.
So I think the hero of the day yesterday had to go to that award has to go to Jared Moskowitz.
Yes.
Who was
awesomely
just curb stomping all over
the mask as much as Chris didn't like it. That was awesome.
Yeah, he came in wearing a Vladimir Putin mask.
Putin mask.
Okay, that's a little unnerving for some of us.
It is. It's important to antagonize these people because that's the only thing they understand, really, is antagonism.
And spectacle clearly is not costing people.
No.
Yes.
But let's hear Jared Moskowitz calling the Republicans bluff on this impeachment thing. So this is so great. Here we go.
And so I just think we should do it today. Let's just call for it. I'll make the motion, Mr. Chairman. I want to help you out. You can second it, right? Like, make the motion to impeach President Biden. Go ahead. It's your turn. You second it. No, nothing. Okay, we got nothing. So I want to, with my last couple minutes, show the American people that they're never going to impeach Joe Biden. It's never going to happen because they don't have the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a show. It's all fake. They just want to do these hearings. It's not leading to impeachment. They're lying to their base on Newsmax and Fox, leading these people to believe that they're going to eventually impeach the president. It's not going to happen at all, ever. Period. They don't even have the votes, even if they had it in committee. They don't have the votes on the floor. They know that. They got members resigning rather than taking a vote on the fake faux impeachment. Just ask Ken Buck, who said the speaker ain't going to get me to take an unconstitutional impeachment vote. I mean, boy.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, what he's saying there is the same thing I've been saying for some time now. All they need is the patina of impropriety. All they need is the whiff of impropriety, the scent of impeachment. And then they get rewarded. They keep the base in line. And that's the whole idea here. They're in the process damaging Joe Biden, getting the word out to casual observers of the political narrative.
But also, I mean, it's just because you did it to our guy for legitimate reasons. We're going to do it to your guy just because.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very much like the brainchild, and I use the term loosely, of Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Sporkfoot back when they were BFFs.
Yeah.
And
no offense to the Little Rascals, but like this is like the Little Rascals version of actual legislating and oversight. The Little Rascals would always do like little kid versions of grown-up things.
Yes.
Right? And so this is the same thing. This is the Republicans doing a little kid version of grown-up things. And it's very obvious that they've got nothing in all of this. They will not impeach Joe Biden.
They'll never take it to a vote.
Yeah.
They just want it to the election.
Right. They certainly can't take it to a vote now. They have even fewer votes to deal with.
I know.
I mean, they can't.
I'm telling you.
Speaker Jeffries is coming. Speaker Jeffries is coming.
We're just like a wild party in Tampa away from a Speaker Jeffries with, you know.
Exactly.
Like, right. Seriously, they just get a couple of them on probation or something or arrested and, you know, it just.
But, you know, going back to the thing I was saying earlier, there's a frustrating side to all of this, which is that this story has very little, if any, bearing on the 2024 election, unfortunately. In fact, it's probably maybe doing more damage to Joe Biden than anything else. But it should be the Republicans who are an utter laughingstock right now. It shouldn't even be a contest. Given the fact that for the third election in a row, the third presidential election in a row, we have copious evidence of Republican collusion with Russian operatives in order to damage political opponents. So they are elevating foreign operatives, hostile foreign operatives, who want to commandeer our elections, interfere with our elections, convince voters to vote based on gibberish and nonsense. Obvious lies, disinformation, spread all over social media, etc. And the thing I worry about, and this goes back to our conversation from last Thursday, I worry about the disinformation on TikTok right now. Is there anything that's happening on TikTok to weed out disinformation? I mean, is that a thing? Like, I know that at least Facebook, Meta, was trying to prevent disinformation. But I don't know how successful that is because I'm barely on Facebook anymore.
The Senate, the House, the people who would be making the legislation and trying to impose some kind of strictures on this are so fucking old.
Old?
Yeah.
And I mean they really don't have any clue what's happening or, I mean, how any of it works.
Mm-hmm. We're too old for this. So.
Well, see, also last week's discussion around a series of tubes. That's what they think. Yeah. It's just a series of tubes. I mean, how much disinformation can you really dump onto the series of tubes like a truck? Because it's not a truck. It's not a truck. You just can't dump things into the series of tubes. And the tragedy is that I don't think anyone's really paying attention to this outside of just those of us who are interested in seeing the Republicans beclown themselves. So,
Here's the thing. Yeah. Nobody pays attention until about September.
That's also true. Okay, so we got to talk about Trump being broke. We got to talk about the latest move from Letitia James to put the club on his jet or whatever, you know.
big orange sticker.
Daughter loans in the money.
I love this story. I'm just going to bask in this story. I'm going to pump it into my veins, stressing Donald Trump out. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go.
Some really good, like, high-grade schadenfreude to Huff. Yeah. You really need to go and look at some of the reactions to Fannie Willis still being on the case in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. I love
after
her.
After the judge. We love her. But, like, people thought that she was out. And the judge kind of split the baby on this one. They made her, like, but she's still there, and she's madder than hell.
Yeah.
And,
oh, God, yeah, do not look off at a young black lady.
They are, the right wingers are just like, they cannot believe it. It's like that she, it's like she, like, it's like when the, what's her face, Daenerys walks out of the burning fire, you know, and yeah,
yeah,
and
that's a great metaphor. Like, yeah, yeah, I totally get it.
They're like, how can, and first of all, because they assume that all black women are nothing more than cleaning women who got above themselves, you know? So they don't think she should be there at all to begin with. And she keeps coming back and she keeps punching them down. And it's just,
She's a hell of a prosecutor that has yet to lose. She wins, what, 95% of her
cases? I am not
cases,
on trial
so.
Here. You are on trial here.
Exactly.
She's the best.
Do not piss off that young lady.
The other person you shouldn't be pissing off is Letitia James, because she's got her eyes set squarely on the Trump National Golf Club in Westchester and his 212-acre Seven Springs estate. Yeah, we'll talk about all this in just a second. Plus, Charlie Kirk's bloodbath. In context, by the way, Republicans. I'll present
it. The first
in
bath Charlie context. Kirk has had since puberty, but, you know.
Plus, Don Lemon versus Elon Musk and some more primary warning signs for the Trump campaign. So stick around. It's a big show. We'll be back right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska. All-time favorites all day long.
I think you know who this is. This is the great Freakbase. Brand new single called Change My Mind.
It's kind of amazing that no matter what everything else sounds like, his bass is so unmistakable. And yet, never gimmicky. Like, it just belongs there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the universe around it just recoalesces. You know what I mean?
Right, right. He doesn't feel the need to... I mean, he can do this, but he doesn't feel the need to do it. He doesn't need to shred. which is great. He's just a funk master. He's got that Ohio funk sound, of course, which is focused around the downbeats. Again, the song is called Change My Mind. I got a link in the description of bobseska.com. Find this episode dated 3/21/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support all the independent recording artists here on today's show, including out of the next break, we're going to set the Wayback Machine for an old track by Compromat, a band called Compromat. I think you're familiar with them. All right. By the way, bobseska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for sharing. Okay. So Donald Trump is broke. I can't stop repeating. Donald Trump is broke. He can't pay.
I mean, this is the thing that he's been desperate to keep secret ever since we first heard about his tax returns.
Yes, yes.
You know, this is the thing that the whole central ethos, this is the pin in the balloon of his entire myth.
Right.
Please proceed.
He is a terrible, terrible business person. He has no business whatsoever being anywhere near the national economy.
No business!
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
It's Clint Howard. Yeah, yeah.
Still, I have that. Drawn a blank. I'm not Clint.
Clint Howard is Ron Howard's brother.
Okay.
And in the movie Parenthood, he plays this baseball dad who is just a giant asshole.
Douche.
Yeah, to
he's
Steve
good at
Martin's
playing
kid.
A douche.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's the actual clip. So, yeah, Donald Trump has no business being anywhere close to the national economy because he can't even keep track of his own money, his own cash, as he likes to say. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate it when he does that. I hate that. Oh, cash. God. I got the cash. What? Okay, really? Goomba? Really? Okay, so first of all, this is the latest. New York Attorney General Letitia James on Wednesday urged an appeals court not to believe Donald Trump's recent assertion that he is unable to secure a bond for more than $450 million to satisfy the civil business fraud judgment against him. It is unclear how soon such an enforcement effort would begin, but James allowed a 30-day grace period that ends on Monday. She has signaled she was prepared to seize assets if Trump's fine is not paid. Posting a bond to cover the judgment would block James from seizing assets until the appeal is resolved.
Right.
So she's given him, 30 days extra that normals don't usually get. And he's still not able to do it. We talked about this earlier in the week. 30 different companies turned him down. For obvious reasons.
Not even Deutsche Bank, folks.
What that means
is... Not even his daughter.
He doesn't have any more collateral. He doesn't have anything more to put up as collateral for these companies. So
his daughter has the money. His daughter has the money. And she's nah.
I wonder where that money went, though. I wonder what they were doing with that. They're certainly not just sitting on it, are they?
I don't really think there ever was a whole lot of money. I think there was a lot of stuff that got laundered for Russians that he called his money that disappeared again.
Yeah.
You know, Donald doesn't have money, but Ivanka and Jared do.
But, I mean, why would anyone give Donald Trump money?
But see, I also think that every bit of money he's ever gotten, he is immediately squandered on fake gold paint.
Yeah.
And new business ventures that have gone to shit.
Life-size paintings of himself.
He's like Jesus. All the money his dad gives him goes right through his hands,
Yeah.
Jesus. Sorry, that was
inferior. Too soon. Too soon, man. 2,000 years too soon. Seriously,
I mean, I always think this whole thing has been run on smoke and mirrors and colored bubbles.
Yeah.
And he has never been as wealthy as he claims to be. And I think the most he probably ever had was 16 to 24 million sometime in the 90s.
Well, anyone who tries to give him money now can count on this. They will not be repaid. And then they will have to sue Donald Trump for repayment, at which time Donald Trump will try to negotiate for pennies on the dollar in terms of repay. If you want to get repaid at all, you're going to have to take, 25 cents on the dollar or whatever it is. That's his whole MO. He's been doing this for, 40 years? This kind of shell game with his money? Obviously. So no one's going to give him money. Certainly not give him money. I mean, much less loan him money. I mean, who's just going to actually
just
hand
him? And I
think
the golf course that they're looking at seizing is in New York, which is, a blue state.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now. So, I mean, seizing Mar-a-Lago is going to be more of a position, a undertaking because, DeSantis is there.
But, right, right. Well, the next part of this is that New York State's $454 million judgment against Donald Trump in a civil lawsuit was formerly registered in Westchester County, just outside Manhattan. A sign that his properties in the area may be at risk of being seized if the former president fails to post an appeal bond. New York Attorney General Letitia James registered the judgment on March 6, according to the Westchester County Clerk's online database. The filing didn't give a reason for the registration or identify any Trump assets, but it will allow James to more easily secure liens, should she decide to do so, on two of the real estate mogul's most valuable properties, Trump National Golf Club Westchester and the mostly undeveloped 212-acre Seven Springs Estate. And that's going to happen. In fact, I think now Donald Trump's just letting go and letting it happen.
I just don't think Donald Trump knows how to keep his hands out of everything. I think he feels like the solution to any problem is more me, you know, and that's what makes him, you know, everything that Trump touches dies because he has no idea how to do business and no idea how to manage a crisis and doesn't know when to stop.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Chiron from, I think this is Sean Hannity's show last night, Trump may let Letitia James seize Trump Tower. What, to own the libs? What is that? He's just going to let it happen? What? This is remarkable. What is this, like a play to get more sympathy and continue to play the victim in all of this? Does he think that?
Read that to me again. I just want to. It has a certain kind of haiku-ishness to it.
Yeah, Trump may let Letitia James seize Trump Tower. That's the lower third. That's the discussion.
What was he planning to do on to stop her, or is he just that's the one he's putting on?
No, he wants it. The theory is that he wants it to happen. And I assume if he does really want Letitia James to seize Trump Tower, is because he wants to play the victim and parlay his victimhood into winning the presidency again, at which time he'll abuse his presidential power in order to get that property back or have the lien lifted or whatever the hell, however the hell he does it. But he thinks that maybe this will get him one step closer to the White House. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to put my thinking into the worm-infested brain of Donald Trump. Like, why the hell would he want Letitia James to start seizing his properties other than to continue to have the, I'm such a victim, I'm being treated so unfairly, et cetera. No one's been treated like this, you know.
That's it.
Yeah, that might be it.
No, I think it's more like the Dark Knight, you know. It's just a... But a scratch. It's like, you know, he's trying to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Only so many avenues of response are open to him. Every day that passes, more close. And he's trying to. How can I spin this as if I'm a genius? Mm-hmm. Like, aha, I will let it, you know, like.
Well, the other factor in all of this that we have to consider that is very, very serious, and this is something that, along with the Russia collusion, the ongoing Russian collusion by the Trump campaign, I wish more people would take seriously, more regular voters, and that is the massive national security threat that this poses.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Not just the $500 million that he owes to New York, but also, you know, he will eventually, if he loses the appeal, he'll eventually have to pay E. Jean Carroll. Right. Plus, he's got all kinds of lawsuits happening in Washington, D.C. based around January 6th. So he could be on the hook for additional judgments.
Money from the Saudis or the Russians. But the thing is, they're only going to do that as long as he looks strong heading into the White House. I mean, why would they want to waste all that money otherwise?
Yeah.
So yep.
They could someone like Oleg Deripaska in Russia or Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia.
Think he's going to get reelected.
Yeah. Well, that's just pocket change to them. I mean, they could reach into their pockets and pull out $500 million and say, here, take this.
It's money, though. It's money that could go to their people to do other projects.
Well,
I want you to follow me, Bob,
okay,
to the place after he's lost the election and didn't get any of the money.
Yeah, yeah.
That he thought he was going to get and just how dejected. And we're going to watch them just like pull him apart like a, you know, vivisection as they take the golf course, Mar-a-Lago, and
Well, that's the gamble he's taking with these people, but they see that as a possibility for being able to influence American foreign policy. They see that as a possibility of owning the president of the United States, which they would. I mean, if Mohammed bin Salman gives
so
Donald Trump half a
the
billion
last
dollars
time around,
well, yeah, but they kind of were. I mean, Donald Trump did all kinds of great shit for Saudi Arabia and for Russia while he was president. Only now, it's going to be Donald Trump unleashed. First time around, he actually had some wise old men from the Republican Party in his White House, which he will not have this time around. Those people are now considered rhinos. So Donald Trump will be able to do whatever the hell he wants and satisfy any debts that he has by just abusing his presidential power and doing anything that Mohammed bin Salman or Vladimir Putin or whoever,
Now I'm gonna Dan Acker. I mean, Bob, you ignorant slut.
Why do you say?
Well, actually, no. I just feel like yes, he will have a better idea of how the government works if he gets back in this time. But there's also a bunch of people who have new, better ideas on how to fight him there in government. You know, and I know that there's a whole, you know, Project 2025 to, you know, root and branch, tear out anyone who's any good in the government. But if anything, we every time we fight him, we learn.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like I'm personally like meeting him in an alley with a switchblade, but like every time the lawyers go up against his lawyers, his lawyers get worse. And I don't know. I do feel like I'm feeling cautiously. They said nauseously optimistic about November.
Well, that's true. So do I. I mean, I feel cautiously optimistic about the election, too. However, if Donald Trump wins, I think it's precious that you think that there will be guardrails around Donald Trump. I don't think that's happening.
Not from his party, no.
No.
But the Democrats, you know, Letitia James, Bonnie Willis, these are people who have spent the last few years fighting him, learning his dodges and techniques, learning to anticipate his moves, you know. Feeling the force flow through them.
Nice. But no, I don't think that's going to happen, sadly, because I think Letitia James and Fani Willis and whoever else, Jack Smith for that matter, will end up in prison. They'll just end up, some trumped up charges, something that he discovers or makes up that comes from Russian disinformation or whatever, however he bullshits his way through the process. Those people, anyone who has gone after Donald Trump's life and
livelihood. He's going to have to go through the New York governor to get to Letitia.
Doesn't matter.
To get her into prison.
No, that's federal, honey. That's federal.
That difference. It's federalism, like when people
were talking about when DeSantis was talking about how he would defend Trump if anybody came and tried to pull him out of Florida and extradite him. Do you remember that?
Well, that's true. But for example, if Donald Trump is convicted in Fulton County, which he probably will be, do you think ever he's going to leave the White House and report to prison? Never. Not in a million years.
No.
It doesn't matter whether
I'm just saying
state, local,
that we're
federal.
Not completely. I mean, even if he does win, which God forbid he does, there are people who are going to be Trump veterans by then who have like, he's going to do this now. So preemptively do this. And
wow.
No.
I mean,
everybody.
No.
I just.
No.
You guys are completely missing what I'm saying here.
No, I'm totally getting what you're saying. I'm just saying that. I don't think the guardrails will be there, David. I don't think there will be.
They
I don't
will
think
not.
Those people. The people will try to take Donald Trump down, and he will
they
abuse his
will
exe- his executive
to.
Authority. Yeah, no. He'll abuse his authority to have those people arrested and indefinitely detained somewhere, so that they cannot do what they're doing. And he's going to go back
and
the entire list.
Our podcast is not that big, so we'll be okay for like 6 months.
That's right. We do have to think of ourselves.
Yeah,
too.
We'll be in the second or third round of.
Second or third roundup, and I'm like, what do I have to pack? I haven't moved in 30 years.
That's what I keep saying. As soon as we see, like, if Chris Lavoie and Stephanie Miller get arrested, then we know that they're coming for us next. So that's when we have tense up and make sure we're prepared. Get the go bags ready.
I had to pretend that I'm not on her show. Like,
Stephanie, who?
Just to be clear,
every now and then when I'm in the shower, like just different thoughts will blow through my head. Like the other day, I was like, maybe the United States should split up, and then I can go live in a free healthcare.
No.
But now listen, think about all the things you could do if you didn't have Jim Jordan and you didn't have Matt Gaetz. You didn't have the fucking Republican Congress dragging everything down. It would be completely renewable energy. There would be like, I mean. Oh, my God. And then other America that I wouldn't have, you know, that like wouldn't be where I live now. Mm. There'd be free health care. There'd be tolerance for immigrants. I mean, it's just like maybe we should let them all go somewhere awful and be terrible to each other.
Oh, Randy Rhodes said Lincoln was wrong. You should just let him secede and just be done.
No.
I agree with what you're saying, Bob, but I also get
I'm not
going to
miss Idaho.
Saying.
They're not my friend.
You know? Yeah, but see, here's the problem. Here's the realistic downside to everything you're saying, David, is the fact that as soon as one state secedes, they're all going to secede. There is going to be no United States. They can go. Well, no, you mean? Oh, you mean California secedes?
A nice big blue new country.
Yeah, but no. See, what happens is, again, it's not just limited to the southern states or the red states. It will extend to California, New York, and then you start to subdivide those areas where New York City and the boroughs secede from New York State.
I feel like the big, square, stupid states will, like, suck all the evil white people out of, like, New Orleans and Texas, and maybe not Texas.
I mean,
and there'll be this, like, blue tunnel through the South to California.
Terrible idea. Terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Last time this happened, anywhere from 600,000 to 1 million Americans were killed.
Exactly. In the process. I understood what Randy said, but I disagreed with it.
It is illegal. And once you legalize it,
I wanted to live in the country that the Republicans were describing Barack Obama. I wanted to live under Barack Obama as Republicans described him.
You know how
socialist.
But you know how we can do all those things, David, is to just hustle in elections and elect more Democrats. I mean, there's a way to do this.
They're never going away.
But they're not going to go away. But the thing is, we can outnumber them at the polls. That's the key.
And so, still cutting me off in traffic and threatening me.
Vote. Honey, just deal with that.
Yeah.
Trust me, we have MAGAs running wild in the streets of Los Angeles.
That's true. Feral MAGAs just out.
They're feral.
Free range MAGA, red hats. Yeah.
In Los Angeles. And it's very strange.
Uh-huh.
But it happens here too. Yeah. So you're not alone, David.
Okay.
Just imagine Los Angeles.
If you never had to look at Marjorie Taylor Greene and be like, that person is a part of my government.
You still have to deal with them. You'd have to deal with them. You're there in Georgia. Georgia's going to be a United States state or a secessionist state? I don't know. They were very secessionist last time.
They were secessionists.
Yeah, but Fulton County alone has more people than the rest of the state.
Yes, would secede from Georgia. See, you're proving my point, because what would happen is Georgia would secede, then Fulton County would secede from Georgia, then DeKalb County would. It would be just this ongoing domino effect.
It usually is Thunderdome. Tina Turner's going to show up wearing a steel dress.
It's exactly.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yeah, a guy on a back of a truck with a flame throwing guitar. It's going to be
a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah. Mayhem.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
God, I miss cigarettes. So, can we get cigarettes back?
Okay, now we're going way deep down a ADHD rabbit hole here. So you got to stop. We're not talking about cigarettes. I'm going to turn off David's microphone.
Like, this is my goal. Every time I come on here, I'm like, how far can I get him off course?
And I'm looking at this name on my screen that I...
how many fingers am I holding up, Bob?
Okay, hey, shut the fuck up. Okay, we're getting... Okay, let's get back into this. We're talking about Trump being broke. And there's an additional wrinkle to all of this, which is that according to Elena Treen from CNN, Trump's leadership pack, Save America, spent nearly $5.6 million on legal bills in February, exceeding its total receipts. Save America ended February with about $4 million remaining in the bank. So sad, right? Oh, and this guy, what? There are millions of people out there right now who want Donald Trump to be the steward of the economy. Unfucking believable. He can't even keep his pack organized.
And then he's like sunk a fang into the actual RNC.
Yeah,
so if you're like running for like a lieutenant governor in Nebraska.
Yeah.
There's no money for you.
Right.
It's all going to pay Alina Haba, you know.
Yeah. In a year in which the Republicans have a very favorable Senate map. They've got no money to spend on Senate campaigns, at least coming from the National
Committee. I know. I love that.
Yeah, it's incredible. Meantime, Mark Levin is completely outraged by the fact that no one's giving Donald Trump $500 million. He said,
Mark Levin is what?
Yeah, he's outraged. He's outraged.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen him like that.
Why are there no Republican multi-billionaires offering to lend President Trump the funds to file his appeal in the outrageous case in New York State? Are none of them liquid enough to help or join with others to help? This is an outrage. That was Mark Levin.
He's outraged.
I went deaf in one ear, so it would sound more like AM radio.
There are no Republican multi-billionaires offering to lend President Trump the funds to file his appeal. Yes, because they know they're going to get screwed out of that money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
one thing about billionaires if they thought he was going to be president, about just throwing their money away.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if they thought he was going to be president, they'd give him the money.
Or maybe not. I don't know. I just think that they would be flushing it down a toilet. That's just exactly a giant flushing golden toilet. Yeah.
But I also think that if I was a billionaire and there was this costumed clown car salesman who had failed at everything, he's the fail son of a tacky Klansman from Queens.
Yeah.
Calling himself a billionaire, well, I, an actual billionaire.
Yeah.
Would, you know, I'm like, no, the guy's dirtying the brand.
Yeah,
shut
him
up, somebody. Well, that's like,
I mean, that's a really good point, David, because Mark Levin is calling for Republican billionaires to lend President Trump the money. Isn't Donald Trump a Republican multi-billionaire? I mean, that's what
he says. That's what he thought.
Yeah. I mean, he said he was worth $9 billion. Why can't he just use that? Where's that money? He doesn't have it. He's a liar.
And a
fraud.
His daughter has it.
Yeah, of course.
She's not giving him the money.
Well, look at what happened to the money that people donated to the Trump Foundation to help kids with cancer. And Donald Trump's out using that money to buy life-size paintings of himself. Unfucking believable. Okay, so we still have Charlie Kirk to talk about and Elon Musk. So, David, you can warm up your Elon Musk impression.
Things making alien noises through their face holes.
All right. Back with more podcasting right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed.
The same billionaire that's funding Trump right now is also funding RFK. It's one of the old robber baron families. This is an heir. This is not even a guy who earned his money the old-fashioned way. He earned it. No, he inherited it. That's the old-fashioned way. This is what they don't want to tell you. He is actually supporting RFK and Donald Trump because anything that peels a vote from Biden, he is all about. The money that he inherited from his great-great-grandpa from the robber baron days is now worth billions, billions. And he's dumping tens of millions into RFK and $100 million into Donald Trump. Why? Because they don't want to pay taxes on these great fortunes. This is very sick and sad. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Oh, yeah, Compromat Band. Send the Wayback Machine.
Great this song.
David, when did you record this? What's the background?
Oh, we recorded it in February of 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay. Why have I never heard this? It's a great track.
Oh, I should send you all of these. No, we had a whole album ready to go, and it was March 2020.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Of course not.
No.
No, you are not.
Nobody is.
No.
No. Because we didn't get the Compromat album. That's one of the things. That's one of the things Donald Trump screwed us out of.
I'm going to do that, actually. I'm going to do that on the Patreon. I tell you guys what. I'll make you a deal, especially because it's Ben's birthday tomorrow, and I'm desperate for money so I can
buy him some flowers.
Yeah.
I'm going to start putting up the Compromat songs to download on either Bandcamp or Patreon. This plan is just coming together in my head now, and you guys can help me. Give my husband flowers for his birthday.
Okay, perfect.
Compromat songs. Because I loved that record. I was so proud of it. It's so good.
Yeah, that's a great
track.
It had
this song about you're not a bad boy, you're just a bad person.
Yeah. can people download this? Is this available somewhere online? Am I going to be able to link to anything?
No? I will do all that tonight.
Okay.
After I leave here, I'm going to practice for Saturday's show with Astral Summer, which I'm very excited about.
Okay.
This is my first show since they told me I have cancer. And I got to tell you, they tell you that you have cancer and you're sitting there on that piece of paper on that bench thing in the office and you feel things like falling away. You know?
Yeah.
You're like, first of all, I'm now a citizen of the country of the sick. Yeah. It's like there's the country of the well and the country of the sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what am I never going to be able to do again? What am I going to miss out on? What am I having to
say? I thought you were on the road to recovery, though. I thought everything was getting resolved.
But one of the things I thought when they told me, because you don't know how bad it is when they first say you have cancer.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to get weaker? So I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to play a show again.
Ugh.
And I'm so excited to be playing Saturday.
Oh, that's great.
Yay.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Because that was one of the things that really, like, oh, my God, I may have played my last show and didn't realize it.
Yeah. Where's the show? Where are you playing? What time?
It's at a club called Cine, which is actually our local avant-garde cinema. We're opening for an amazing goth band called Tears for the Dying, fronted by an amazing artist and trans activist named Adria Stembridge, who has really, really come a long way in the last couple of years, and just in terms artistically, personally, beautifully, she's fabulous. We're opening for them, and afterwards will be goth karaoke, so you guys can come and sing your favorite Sisters of Mercy songs, and I know not many of you are in the actual area. I do know that my one friend who dependently listens to every single show is going to be there.
Yeah, and the area is Athens, Georgia. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Athens, Georgia, Cine Club, 9:00 Saturday night, March 23rd, Tears for the Dying, and Astral Summer. And I'm very excited.
Post that shit on your Facebook so people can go and have something to reference in case they're not catching it in their cars or whatever at the gym, et cetera, where people normally listen to the podcast. So,
and in the process, I will be giving you more information about how to get the Compromat songs.
Sounds great. Perfection. All right, my friend. So let's talk about Charlie Kirk. Obviously, we're just on the heels of Donald Trump talking about
the smallest face and the biggest head.
That's right.
He is a living, breathing Peanuts character.
Oh, my God. He totally is. Oh,
I loved him as Sloth in The Goonies. That was one of his best performances. But we're talking about context this week because Donald Trump last weekend talked about how if he loses, there's going to be a bloodbath in this country. He's talking about cars, but the broader context is Donald Trump makes threats like this all the time. Who he is and
because
the other things
he
says.
Because he has a 300 fucking word vocabulary.
That's exactly right. So along those lines, Charlie Kirk feels the need to double down on all of this by talking about, you know, an actual thing that they need to do if Donald Trump loses. Let's listen to Charlie Kirk. This is, I don't know, he's being interviewed by someone. I think this is mostly Charlie, though.
Talk about this upcoming election, how important this is, how critical this is, and what the church can be doing to make a difference. So, well, you know, so this doesn't happen again. We got to do something.
I love the question. And so I'm going to start unusually. I want to make sure that we all make a commitment that if this election doesn't go our way, the next day we fight. That's a very important thing.
Yeah, but don't you dare say that Donald Trump was talking about bloodbath, anything other than the car industry. Yeah, that's all you need to know about how these guys operate. And Charlie Kirk is influential, as silly and stupid as he is. He's got Donald Trump's ear. He's got the ear of people like Steve Bannon and other Republican strategists who surround Donald Trump. So this is not some rabble rouser in the sub-basement of the MAGA establishment. This is a guy who controls a lot. I mean, TP USA is entirely Charlie Kirk's invention. I know. It's TP for my bunghole, et cetera. But so they're preparing to fight if Donald Trump loses the election. That's the word that's going out. And when they say shit like that, you got to believe them. And why? Because they say shit like that.
Sit out at the end of their two long driveways and their fucking SUVs and cyber trucks with their guns in their laps mad.
Right, right. I mean, that's not to say necessarily that there's going to be some sort of civil war if Donald Trump loses, but there is going to be some form of violence. I think it's a safe bet. I mean, why give Donald Trump or Charlie Kirk, for that matter, the benefit of the doubt? They don't deserve it. They've already incited an insurrection at the Capitol where their militias invaded and occupied Congress for a good long time on January 6th. We know all this. So it's easy to assume, to make that leap, that when it happens again, they're going to try something similar. And if they don't, great. But I think we need to be prepared for that eventuality. We need to be ready. There needs to be security. There needs to be people prepared for the idea that Donald Trump will try some fuckery when he loses the election. And I'm saying the word win deliberately.
Well, I think it's a stretch to think that there are people on the case that know that no matter whether he wins or loses, he's going to pretend he won and he's going to have something. Because, I mean, he does everything, again, he has no new plans ever.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Everything old is new again. But
I just confess that militia, the word militia to me has always sounded like a delicious vanilla-flavored cold drink.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Okay, so we all know by now that Don Lemon, with his very short-lived Twitter show.
Well, he's past his prime.
Yeah, well, he cut a deal with Elon Musk to host a Twitter show, much like Tucker Carlson. And his first show, he interviews Elon Musk. He interviews the boss. And it's a disaster to the point where Elon Musk fired Don Lemon. Don Lemon is no longer doing a show for Twitter because he was mean to Elon Musk. And here is, I think
the term we should have for these kind of guys is itchy dicks. You can't have two itchy dicks in a room. You know?
Itchy dicks. That's the name of the show. Itchy dicks.
But that's totally what they are. They can't not get into trouble. They can't not rub up against everything and get their dickishness all over it. You know, Donald Trump, itchy dick. Giuliani, itchy dick. They're just a bunch of itchy fucking dicks. And you get two of them in a room, and they end up rubbing on each other, and it makes them all mad and mean. Because.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
Awesome. I cannot even anymore. Oh, my God, that was so amazing.
Is it too much for Apple Podcast?
G, and then you just go D, and then star, and then CK.
All right.
Yes. Ducks, we're talking about ducks.
Yeah. That's right. See? Yes.
Itchy ducks.
It auto-corrected to ducks. No, but here's the end of the interview between Don Lemon and Elon Musk, where Don Lemon feels the need to be like, I'm sorry if I upset you. Did I say something?
That paycheck is coming right out of his fingers right then.
Oh, of course. Of course. Well, he's going to be okay. But here's Don Lemon and Elon Musk.
So you said if they kill the company, it's them. But doesn't the buck stop with you?
Okay, so yeah, the context in all of this, and that's important, right? The context is Don Lemon's asking him about the failure of Twitter and the fact that Elon Musk blames users for the failure and not his own ridiculous and inexplicable decision-making process. So here we go. This is it.
So you said if they kill the company, it's them. But doesn't the buck stop with you? I mean, you're
on it. I have to say, choose your question carefully. There's 5 minutes left.
Okay, but so...
Is this the question you want to ask?
So his response is, oh, there's only 5 minutes left. Is it really going to ask that question with just 5 minutes left? Yeah, yeah.
Not even, I mean, you know, there's 5 minutes left, so maybe start answering the question, dillweed.
Instead, it's a long, pregnant pause. Well, that was 30 seconds right there.
Are you sure if you want to strike to the king, that's the weapon you want to go with, sir?
That's right. If he inserts as many pregnant pauses as he wants, he doesn't have to say a goddamn thing. He just burns out the 5 minutes with pregnant pauses, right?
About a scratch.
You could do you exactly. you want you you could do so
You said that they are killing the company, but you're the head of the company. The buck doesn't stop with you?
I acquired X in order to preserve freedom of speech in America.
Wait, stop. Who snorted?
I did.
Okay, I thought that and I was like, that is, I mean, wow.
That would have been better if he did that.
Yeah, it would.
It's just like his ketamine just kicked in the middle of the interview.
I can't snort.
Don Lemon is suddenly a pink bunny. You know, like.
All right, let's get back to it.
Off with you.
Pregnant pause.
Hello, baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, Mariah.
I acquired X in order to preserve freedom of speech in America, the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Good job, by the way, Elon Musk. Good job on preserving freedom of speech.
The word is cis.
Yeah, right.
And that's a slur.
Yeah, exactly. Or when he bans people for being mean to him. That's freedom of speech, isn't it? Good job.
Totally.
Good job,
well,
Elon.
That's every anarchist idea of freedom.
Yeah.
Only what I like.
Which is not freedom of speech. It's something else. It's not what he thinks it is. Yeah, it's the freedom of me.
I'm gonna stick to that, and if that means making less money, so be it.
So I have to be. Listen, I'm just
you
being honest.
You're throwing a little John Wayne there, you know. If that means making less money, so be it. No, I mean, you are not from. Yeah. You're from South Africa,
right.
Not South Alabama, dipshit. But
if that means making less money,
so be it.
So I have to be. Listen, I'm just being honest, right? I'm not trying to like get you or anything. I was just surprised that you would blame other people for killing the company. I mean, when you say the buck stops with the president of the United States, regardless of what happens, right? So, why would that question upset you? You seem upset by it, are you?
I think you're...
And I'm not trying to upset you.
You are upsetting me because the way you're phrasing the questions, I think, is not cogent.
It's not what?
Not cogent.
Cogent. Yeah.
The fuck?
He had a weird way of pronouncing cogent, didn't he? But here's the thing. It's a perfectly valid question.
It's a perfectly
Absolutely.
Normal question.
Why?
But if you wanted to say, I don't accept your framing,
yeah.
That's what you say.
Right.
But you don't say it's not cogent. Because non-cogent means incoherent. And it's a perfectly coherent question.
No, it's completely cogent.
Like, it's a perfectly logically constructed question. That, like, if you took over the company to save it and you are killing it, does that not redound back onto you?
Yes, of course it does.
Oh, no, David, it's not cogent.
But he's so fragile. And, of course, he believes in freedom of speech so much, he's firing Don Lemon for being mean to him.
He believes in freedom of speech so much, he's making up new definitions for the word cajent.
Yes, yes, cajent. Yeah, that's right. Let's hear this again.
For the president of the United States, regardless of what happens, right? Why would that question upset you? You seem upset by it, are you?
I think you're...
And I'm not trying to upset you.
You are upsetting me because the way you're phrasing the questions, I think, is not cogent.
Cogent.
It's not what?
Not cogent.
Cogent, yeah.
He said cogent. Or did he say turgid?
And then Don Lemon goes...
It's got a new light over it. It's basically what's going on there. Okay. Cogent. It's got that Dutch Scandinavian thing that's got the influence on Afrikaners.
Yeah.
So it sounds like an umlaut. And you know, umlauts are totally metal, so.
Bring back the 90% tax rate for a-holes like this guy. Please, please.
So,
please.
90% tax rate for multi-billionaire.
Honey, I wish I were in that tax bracket.
Well, I
want to
hear, because
I'd be happy to pay it.
Keep playing this, because okay. I mean, Don Lemon is genuinely perplexed.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he's like, what does not cogent mean?
Cogent. Like, so, cogent.
Cogent.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Question upset. You seem upset by it, are you?
I think you're...
And I'm not trying to upset you.
You are upsetting me, because the way you're phrasing the questions, I think, is not cogent.
It's not what?
Not cogent.
Cogent.
Yes.
Go ahead.
If given a choice where an advertiser is saying, like, you have to censor all this content on the platform, irrespective of where their advertising appears, then our answer will be, like, look, you can choose where you want your advertising, what you want your advertiser to appear next to.
What?
You can't insist on censorship of the entire platform. And if you insist on censorship of the entire platform, even where your advertising doesn't appear, then
Okay, I think I'm going to translate this from Elon to English.
I don't even know what he's saying.
I get it. Yeah. He's saying people don't want their... He doesn't understand that, like... First of all, he's mistaking the whole argument is that, like, Johnson & Johnson's doesn't want their content appearing next to Stormfront.
Right. Bingo.
You know, but he's like, you know, the site is just so vast, you never, because you don't know where things are going to go. And, you know, it's just, I can't guarantee, and you can't censor the whole site, because, mm-hmm. you know, and, which you actually totally fucking can.
Yes.
Yeah, it's his site. He can censor anything he wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he believes that, like, the chaos is the magic, I guess.
Yeah.
And, but instead of like, and he also doesn't understand that like these are the policies that are directly impacting its value because advertisers won't spend the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Because for guys like him, money just happens. They don't really care where it's investors or somebody, right? Yeah. Mm. Like there's money, isn't there? And he doesn't understand why. Like, and he doesn't understand that advertisers are the lifeblood of any media company.
Of course. Of course.
And so he like doesn't
He's
really.
He's never had to deal with that.
Your question's not cogent because I don't understand where money comes from.
Okay.
They come from trees. Yes. They come from trees, right?
Yeah.
Fathers.
I think so.
And family annuities, right?
Yes. That's how they come. You know, it comes from your family and it comes from trees and from the ground up. I mean, I don't know.
Suddenly
you
become
the
mother from Saltburn and I love it.
I know, I love it.
So imagine Elon Musk has a shopping mall and
Oh my God. And
you manage the JCPenney's and across the concourse opens Nazis R Us. Even though they're not right next to you, there's still a Nazi store in the mall. Do you?
Thank you.
You are well within your right to say, I don't want to have my JCPenney in the same shopping mall as Nazis R Us. That is a perfectly exactly. valid complaint and a perfectly valid reason to bail out of the lease of that mall, right?
Because he's an itchy dick, yeah. right? Musk perceives any attempt to control or like have any kind of like rule over him as an affront, assault.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's unacceptable and is, you know, off the board. There's no such thing as compromise.
All right, let's blast through the rest of this.
We will not want them as an advertiser.
So what would you say to advertisers to who have left the platform or who are considering coming back or not coming back? What would you like to say to them?
Well, first of all, almost all of our advertisers are coming back to Platform. So it's a very short list of advertisers who are not coming back to Platform. Our advertising revenue is rising rapidly. And our subscription revenue is rising rapidly. And I feel very optimistic about the future of the X Platform.
Okay. Listen, I'm not meaning to offend you.
What's that?
Did you just play that last little phrase of his because it was like, it was just weird.
Okay, here we go.
And our advertising revenue is rising rapidly. And our subscription revenue is rising rapidly. And I feel very optimistic about the future of the X Platform.
Okay.
Oh, he was very, very optimistic about the X Platform, I think is what
X Platform. Oh,
yeah, yeah,
okay.
The X Platform.
I just got optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a really appropriate way to refer to it as an X Platform. Which is exactly what it is.
X-platform. It's an X platform. It's done.
It's soon to be.
It's done.
It was once a platform, and now it's going to be an X platform.
It's a platform I pretend I don't see when I'm at the grocery store and I go the opposite aisle.
Yes. Like, it's a former platform. It is like the dead parrot platform. Different kinds of.
Join the quad or invisible.
Deceased platform.
I'm not meaning to offend you. You're an intense person. Where does that intensity come from?
So I was born that way.
I was born that way. I was born intense.
And I had a tough childhood.
No.
How
so?
Right, Walter Isaacson goes into it in the book. And we only have a couple minutes left. So.
All right.
Too long. Yeah, Don Lemon asks him how so, and he's like, I don't have time for that. You have to read the book.
Because he's like me. He did not have a hard childhood.
He's little fucking Lord Fauntleroy with emeralds in his pocket.
Yes, he is.
I mean, seriously.
It's a great way to describe it.
I don't think you understand what a personal challenge it can be to have all the money in the world. And,
it's very difficult.
And still be miserable.
I had everything I wanted and nowhere to put it. I didn't know where to put all the things in the world.
I did not have enough so pockets.
Hard. Yeah.
I did not. The drawers were big enough to hold my emerald collection.
Yeah. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Execute a black person just for my amusement, and I still felt hollow inside.
David, ask me how many bedrooms I had. How many bedrooms did I have?
Elon, how many bedrooms did you have in your mansion?
Baker's dozen. Baker's dozen. 13.
Did he really say that?
No, I don't know. I'm just making that up. Of course. I mean, he probably had a ton of bedrooms, filling it all with his... I mean, you know that Richard Pryor movie, The Toy? That was Elon Musk.
Yes.
He probably had a black man servant who was his toy.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure of that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he had like 10 of them that his dad let him drill like artillerymen, you know, like just march them up and down the yard and never give him any water. You know, I mean...
Jesus, man. Yeah, I mean, Elon Musk had a very privileged childhood, but he was saying...
It's very difficult.
He's been intense,
Bob,
since he was born.
Bob, it's difficult. It's difficult, Bob. When you have all this money,
it's
you're
very an
difficult.
Itchy dick. Like it's like,
right after he was born, the doctor lifted him up and spanked him on the butt, and Elon Musk said, why'd you do that? What did you... Why are you hitting me, doctor?
Why are you hitting me, doctor?
Little baby, like... Fetus Elon Musk asking the doctor why he just got spanked on the butt. It's so you can breathe, idiot. And it takes it personally.
Yeah, I got spanked on the butt and was like, harder, daddy.
All right, the Shadow Docket's coming up next. The fun continues on our Patreon page.
This could get any shadier at this point.
Oh, no, it gets shadier, kids. It gets shadier.
Okay, more primary warning signs for the Trump campaign, and Joe Biden is stealing big money donors from the Republicans. Love that story, too. Oh, and we're going to talk about AI music. They just introduced a new platform for AI music, and it is horrendous. Jesus, Jody.
Wow, that was an entirely new sound from the Jody Panoply.
God. All right, stick around. Lots more to come. Patreon.com/Bob Zeska Show. Sign up for $5 a month. And that's the Shadow Docket level. You can keep listening to the show. All right, stick around. Instead, we'll see you next time, folks. Bye-bye.